Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, Father, we thank you for this word, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we're asking for him to be with us, Father, throughout the remainder of this service, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and to help us in growing our faith, making it stronger, so that we can stand where you want us to stand, Father, and to do the work that you ask of each of us to do. Now keep us according to your will and your way. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name, Jesus. Amen. All right. How many, before we get into our message, we've got such a mess going on. And not just here in our land, but a lot of it is being caused by our land, by our government. How many of you seen what Afghanistan is doing to the civilians that was left back? Any of you? You see them laying there on the bank, what they're doing to them? Hundreds of them. Just walking down through shooting them. And it wasn't bothering actually on where they were shooting them. Walking down just shooting them. Wherever they hit, that was all right. And then they turn around and come back to the kill shot. Hundreds of them. Because our president brought the troops out, left thousands of the American people over there unprotected, and left billions of dollars worth of military weapons over there. And got on television and stood up and said that what he done was the right thing to do. Bring the military out and leave American civilians over there unprotected. And I'm afraid he's going to pay a price for that. Not only him, but now they are looking to see who else been telling him to say the things he's been saying and to do the things he's been doing. Because he did also on television say, well, you know, they told me to say this, and they told me to do this, and it's the right thing. He didn't say who told it, but they'll find out. So we got a lot of them up in arms now, especially since they showed this right on television about them laying people on that embankment on their bellies and walking down, just shooting them any place they hit. Legs, back, side, it didn't matter. Then come back up through with a kill shot. But we are living in the last days. And mankind better get right with God, because we all need to be praying for him to come on back for his church. And we need to be ready. So it's time now that most better quit playing church, get down to business, tear all these walls of denominationalism down, and join the one true church, his church. And don't worry about what name and all of that. And quit thinking about what you were taught years ago, and get back into his word and start living it. Not man's ways or your ways. One of man's biggest troubles today, and one of his biggest problems, is his own mind. Because he thinks, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe this. And I think I can do this, and this will be right. But he hasn't asked God about it. And about 9 times out of 10, he's wrong. And he's walking contrary to the word of Almighty God. Well, hopefully, we're going to bring some things out this evening. Maybe that'll help. Because we need to quit thinking what I like, what I want, and start going and asking the Lord, Lord, what is it you want of me? What do you want of me? What do you want me doing? And Lord, help me with your word. Give me more knowledge, God. And get in that Bible and start to study it. Not just get in there and read it like a storybook, but take time to see. Pray about it when you open that book. Pray about it before you start reading it. And ask God, open this word up to me, Father, and give me the knowledge and the truth of what this word is telling me I need to do. And he will. But that's what it's going to take if we're going to make heaven our home. And get out of ourselves. Let him take over. Then we'll be able to be ready for his coming. And we need to be not just looking for it, but praying for it. We need to be praying for it. And really looking forward to his coming. Because this earth is not going to be any place really that's going to have any joy in it other than for those that do belong to him. You know, we can have troubles and trials and tribulations. We can even be down and off. And still, if you're a child of God, you can have joy in your heart. But for those that don't belong to Him, they're going to be living some of the most miserable times, that it's going to be hard for them to even believe that it's happening. All right. I'm going to be talking to you tonight from Romans chapter 1. Don't know how long we'll be here tonight, because I'm going to things a little different tonight. God gave it to me a little different way. So, I'm not going to be reading it first. We're going to be taking it as it comes. Because we're going to be strictly looking at His word, His will, and His way, and really seeing what it says. Because this is what we need to be doing, all of us, all the time. I'm going to be in Romans chapter 1. We're going to begin here with verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Well, we know that Paul always starts most all of his letters with an introduction, letting them know who he is, what he is, and how he got there, or how he become that. And that's exactly what verse 1 does here. He's letting them know he's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But are you tonight? Are you really a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you still wanting things your own way and your own belief instead of His? We all got that funny belief in us that we have to get rid of. And you know, we got to quit letting our minds control our heart. Our heart actually should be controlling our mind. We don't look at things, even within ourselves, what the right thing and the right way is. Where is your life? Where's your life in your body? It's in the blood. Life is in your blood. God speaks to us through the heart, mostly. And that's where we are to have head His word, is in the heart. Now here in 2, in fact, I'm going to go through 2, 3, and 4, which He has promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and to be declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He's talking here about He was made the seed of David. That's letting you and I know about the human side of the Lord Jesus Christ and the lineage, where it come from. And we know that it was declared or marked out, but He was also then the Son of God And you know, Jesus didn't come to be God. He was here as a representative, his son, and he was here to bring eternal life unto mankind. And in order to do that, there were certain things that had to be done. And the proof of his deity was his resurrection from the dead. And he was talking about the spirit of holiness there in verse 4, which is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. So in four verses, we have learned what? Just words? That's what we would have learned just to sit down by ourselves and read that and just keep it going. But to look at it, to see what it's actually telling us, it's telling us about his lineage, his human lineage, which come from David, just as it was prophesied hundreds and thousands of years, even before he was born. But it is also letting us know about his other side also, about being the Son of God and how he was filled with the Holy Spirit and how, as proof of his deity, of who he was resurrected from the dead, all in four verses. When we learn the word like this, that's how we learn how to walk in the power of Almighty God. And we're going to be seeing great things happen in this day and time that's going to be hard to even believe. Because we've got a revival coming. I ain't talking about this church, but I don't know what God right now has got in mind for it. But mankind, the world, has got a revival coming. It's going to be happening all over the world. It wouldn't surprise me for our own land to be left out because of what it's done. And how it's turned its back on God. How it's denied God. We're still, right now, after the things our leadership has done to our people, they're still wanting to do more to you and I. They're still wanting to take this book away from us because they're wanting to make it a book of hate speech. You are domestic terrorists. In their eyes, it's exactly, they've already stated that. We're going to be seeing a lot of the same thing going on here in this country that's going on around the world. And it's getting closer and closer and closer. Right now, just north of us, our neighbor, jailed a preacher for preaching the gospel. No other reason. He was just preaching the gospel. They didn't like it. They locked him up. They have threatened his congregation. He had a big congregation. They threatened his congregation that all that will continue going to that church will be fined $1,000. Getting closer. South of us. Cuba's in bad shape. And a lot of our southern countries are in bad shape. Now, we know that he was had the spirit of holiness. And we know here in verse 5, he says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. This is why you and I can be called a child of God today. It's because we have received our grace and apostleship from him. And then the Father sent his Spirit into us, to live in us, to give us the power and the will and the desire to continue the study of his word, to share with the world, with others, and to be able to do the work he will call upon each of us to do. And there is a job for every one of us. When you become a child of God, right then, you have become a servant. And he already has work laid out for you. Most of us are not doing it, but it's there. And if we don't do it, we're going to find out when we stand before him, we're going to be missing out on a whole lot of things. He told us there in fact, he said, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. You see, we have to belong to him. He is the gate. He is the door. And he is the only way that you and I can make heaven our home, is by going through him. We can't go around him. We can't go over him. We can't go under him. We have to go through him. And we have to live in him and him live in us. And we have to have that infilling indwelling baptism of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And the only way we can get that is by the Word of God. And bringing that into our lives and living it according to what it says, not what men say, but according to what it says. I don't know how, whether any of you saw my input in on Facebook today or not. And I left a little message on Facebook today and on my pages. And they're going to be seen by a lot of our friends. I know, because I hear from lots of our friends about different things I put on there. But I left a little short message on Facebook today. Kenny, out on the truck, but he's already seen it. He seen it about 2 minutes after I put it on. He and another lady that's way off. Let me know they've seen it. And I simply told them that it was time to wake up and tear the walls of denomination down. and to join, come together in unity and join His church, God's church. No doubt I'll get some letters and I'll get some answers. And a lot of them won't be too nice. But you know something, that's all right. Because it was all truth. And it comes straight out of the Almighty God. Now, you see, 6 is telling us that you and I should be those that are called of Jesus Christ. We'll hear people say, well, you know, everybody in the world has not heard about Jesus. Oh, yes, they have. Yeah. God's word tells you and I, no man will die without first receiving knowledge of Jesus. Now, they may not hear somebody like me preach it, or no preacher preach it, but the day that God put them into the womb, He put the knowledge of Him in them. So they know. It don't mean they're going to choose Him. It don't mean they're going to choose to walk His way. And a lot of them will need help, yes. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Called to be what? What are you called to be? You know, I can remember a day and a time when they took a notion, those that didn't really like what I was saying or doing, would look at me and cut me down and say, who do you think you are, a saint? They just didn't know, yeah, that's who I am. And that's who you are if you're a child of God. His word, not mine, it's His. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you go to the Lord Jesus Christ, you confess your sins, He forgives your sins, you invite Him into your life, you have begun that walk of becoming a saint, a son of the living God. Now you're not finished yet, and most likely you've got a lot more to do and a lot more to learn, but you're on your way. And God is considering you as a saint. Verse 8. He says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. How strong is your faith? Is your faith strong enough to cause people throughout the world to really talk about it and think about it? How strong is it? But Paul says he thanked God that their faith was that strong. You know, the book of Romans is a strong book. One of the strongest on faith and walking with God. We have an evangelist that has wrote a book on just the book of Romans. Great big. It's that thick. Got the commentary and everything in it. Just on the book of Romans. Now, I ain't read it, so I can't say whether I'd recommend it or wouldn't recommend it. I don't know. And I'm just telling you that it's out there. I do know what it would take to get one. It'd take a gift of $45 to get one. And then if you wanted the CD and the DVD and all that goes with it and that book, in one other book, it's $197. But this gospel that we have here in Romans is strong. It's very strong. And it is filled with a lot of knowledge and a lot of things that are good for you and I. Because it teaches us how to walk as a born-again child of the living God, and how did it even become that way? In verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. Paul, in writing to the Roman church, that's what he's telling them. He's letting them know that God is his witness. And he's serving God with his spirit. Not his mind, but his spirit. His heart. And he's letting them know that they are in his prayers always. Just like this is always in my prayer. Every day I pray for this church. I pray for each one of you all here. Every day you're in my prayers. Because that's what we are to be about. Y'all should be doing the same thing, praying for the church, praying for each other. And pray for me. I need it. Because you see, when we pray for each other, there's more strength there. And we all need all the strength we can get. Now, verse 10. Making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul's wanting to go to them. Well, for you all, I don't have to make a very big journey. But I thank God every day that I can be here for services, that I can see you and be with you. For the time that we spend together. 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. A spiritual gift. Paul letting them know, he wants to impart unto them God's spiritual gift. They 9 of them. I've read them to y'all before, so I'm not going into them right now. But you find them in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. You find all of the gifts of the Spirit. It goes on. Here now in 12 says, that is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. We need to always stand together and to be in mutual unity. And that's why we need the walls of the churches tore down and all come together so that we can all stand in unity and quit this division we got. This division is doing nobody any good. It's causing trouble. And it's causing a lot of people to be left out. And we need to come together in the unity. And that unity being in Jesus Christ and in His church. Not the Baptist church, the Methodist church, the Presbyterian church, the Catholic church. No, God's church. And just as I told them in that little piece that I wrote, standing on the apostles' doctrine. That's the doctrine to stand on, because that's what the Word tells us. And He says, if you come preaching any other doctrine than this, you're cursed. So those that are preaching this watered-down, contrary Word of God, they're not teaching truth, and they're standing cursed. And that's God's word, not mine. Thirteen. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I propose to come unto you, but with let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, also even as among other Gentiles. Paul is letting them know, I wanted to come to you, but I have been other places. I've had to go other places too. But it's let me bring more fruit to you. Because the more you do for God, the more fruit you have in your life that you can share with others. The more we accomplish, the more fruit we got in our own lives to share with others. Because we don't outgive God. We can't outgive Him. Everything you give to God here, He's going to give it double back to you. When you really walk with Him and you are His. 14. I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For as much as it's in Paul, he says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you. Just like when I come here, I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm ready to preach that word. And that's why I let you know, I don't walk around no subject. I don't walk around no one. Whatever the Spirit gives me is what you're going to get. And if it gets on your toes, just thank God for it. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ and learn something. Because I get on my own too. I get on my own more than I get on yours. And here's something we all need to remember. This verse right here, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, to the Gentile. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but so many of us are because we don't want to talk to others about it. Well, I don't think I need to do that. You know, oh, there'll be somebody else come, and, you know, they just don't act right. So, you know, why should I do it? We do it because the Word of God said so. That's part of our work as a child of the living God. My work is to share the gospel with others. And every born-again child of God, man, woman, it don't matter. If you are a born-again child of God, you are to share the gospel with others. That's being church. Like the woman ain't supposed to be sharing it in the church. She's to do it outside the church. She's to help bring into the church. You see, God's got to work for her. They think just because I say she's not supposed to be a preacher, she's not supposed to be a teacher in the church, that I'm against women. No, I'm not. Wish I had a church full. And if they was all doing their job, we'd have a great big church, because they are sharing the gospel on the outside, helping to bring others in. And most men won't do that. Think about it. Oh, you say, yeah, I do talk to others. How many of you really talked to this week? Don't answer me. I don't want to know. Just want you to answer yourself. How many have you actually really talked to about the Lord Jesus Christ and talked to them about coming and coming to the church? Won't you come hear our pastor? Come see what that old man's all about. No, we men just don't do it hardly. If you've got a real good friend, you may invite him once, maybe once every year or two. Now, because that's also, when we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ and we will share it with others, that is where the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That's where we learn how to walk in the power of Almighty God. Think about it. And he said that was for the Jews first and also to the Greek. Well, we know that the whole Bible was wrote to the Jews first. They were God's chosen people. They still are. He hasn't left them. Now, he's not working with them right now. Well, we can't say that now with everything going on. And there are groups of those out there today that belong to Jesus. And they are growing more and more all the time. And you and I are to hold them in prayer. We are to walk with them. We are to be praying for Israel. We are to be praying for Jerusalem, for them to have peace. We are to be praying for them to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. We are even to share other things with them, to help them. We're to stand with them. And the word's very plain about that. He said those that will stand with the Jewish nation
He will bless. And those that won't stand with him, he will curse.
This ministry, I'll share this with you. I don't know how many I've actually told about it. This church supports a Jewish organization. I give every month a donation to a group that is called the Jewish Voice. That's helping the homeless there in Israel, and the children and all that have no home. They don't have enough food, no clothes. And we give to them every month. In fact, I'll be sending out September's gift tomorrow. I always send it around the first part of the month. But that's something we're supposed to be doing. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What does that really mean? I'm supposed to live by faith. The just supposed to live by faith. The only way you and I can live by faith is to live this word. Walk in and with this word and bring it to life. Because you see, the only way you're going to have strong faith is by the word. Faith comes by the hearing of the word. And we're to live by faith. So many different ways and different places in the Bible we are told that we are to be in God's word. And yet that's the place mankind don't want to be. They don't want to be in the word. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. When I take this book and I turn these words around to make it say what I want it to say instead of what it's saying, I'm holding it in untruth. And I'm holding it in unrighteousness. What did it just get through saying? Now I'll be having and holding the wrath of God on me. Because of it. 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. And the only way that God shows us a lot of things is through his word. If you ain't in his word, he can't show you, can he? Oh yeah, he does show us things in other ways too. But not like he does in his word. Yes, he'll speak to you in visions. He'll speak to you in dreams. He has spoke to me both ways. But the main source of his speaking to me is right there. Coming out of that book. His word. Once you become that born-again child of God and you go to him in prayer and you pick up this word and you sit down and you start reading it, and if you're reading it in a study fashion, he begins to reveal things to you. That's his way of talking to you.
and he's opening up your heart for this word to come into and to stay. And then, once it's in there, the Holy Spirit, when that is needed, can reach in and bring it out and bring it to use. You say, well, what am I for? You're there for a vessel. You're there as a channel for God to use, because he's making a mansion for you in heaven if you're his child. One day, you'll get your reward. You'll get everything coming to you. And you won't even have to work to get it. This all will be given to you. Now, 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, we don't need to be able to stand before God and say that I turned away from God because God didn't give me any light. God didn't give me any knowledge. God didn't give me nothing. God never revealed anything to me. No. You see, I can't do that. If I didn't get anything, it was because I wasn't where I should have been. I wasn't in his word. We should not miss a day. Without being in this word. And not for 5 or 10 minutes. But to take some time in it and then do it as a study. Because that's what he tells you not to do. Study to show yourself a workman approved. Think about it. These are all his words. They're not mine. He goes on here in 21 and he tells us. He found out in 20, in verse 20 there, that we are without an excuse. God's not going to accept excuses. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And we've got a lot of that going on today. An awful lot of it. They're claiming to be the children of God. They're claiming to be Christians. And yet, they're going by and following what man says instead of what the Word of God says. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We go depending on ourselves and what we think, what we imagine. He lets us know we've got a dark heart. Think about it. 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You see, without Jesus, we are nothing. Without his word, we're nothing. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God
into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Well, we know they made all kinds of idols. But they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image. They made images. And we know that, like I said, they've got all kinds, and still today, around the world, you can find a lot of idols out there today. Buddha and all of them. Buddha's an image. Christians have got a few too. You see these cars, you see stickers on them with a fish. Using a fish. We're told not to make images of anything. In heaven, in the earth, or in the sea. Yet they do. Now, but here's what happens when we do those things too. When we want to play with images and things. Here in 24 it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Uh-oh. Now we're getting into some things. And we're getting into some things that today mankind in our land here has made perfectly all right. I told you there's nothing wrong with it. It's just an alternate lifestyle. That's what they tell you. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about homosexuality. And so is the Word of God about right here. 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now we know what they did. He's telling us there. They changed the truth. And they made it into a lie. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Uh-oh. Well, I thought it was all right for a woman to marry a woman. Government says it is. Just an ordinary lifestyle. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Letting us know that when women are with women and men are with men unnaturally, it is wrong. 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Uh-oh. To do those things which are not covenant. Those things are not convenient. But they've told you it's all right. Nothing wrong with it. Don't look down on them. Don't tell them they're wrong. It's just an alternate lifestyle. not according to the Word of God. We just read it here. But there is even another place in here. It gets a lot stronger than this, where he tells you that it is an abomination to him. Now, 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers. These are all things that are wrong. But we got so much of it going on today, and it's happening right in the churches. In our churches today, almost all of your denominational churches today are accepting homosexuality and not preaching against it. They're even accepting homosexual pastors behind this podium. Well, he ain't getting behind this one, not if I know it. And I believe he may know it. Now, these next three verses and we'll close. Fighters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. And man, that is growing by leaps and bounds every day. So much of that going on today. 31. And those are without understanding. They're covenant breakers because they're breaking covenant with God. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. That's all in their lives. 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. When you have pleasure or you allow those things to go on and you proclaim that it's not wrong, it's just an alternate lifestyle, you are as guilty as they are. Our government right today is standing just as guilty as they are before God. When we know these things, then we can look at the things that's going on in our land today, and we don't have to wonder, why, God, why have you taken your hand off of our land? We know, don't we? You'd be surprised when you really will get into his word and read it studying-wise what God will give you and just how much dealing he will do with you. And I learn more and more every day. And I'm learning something different every day. Every day. As long as I've been in the ministry and the things that I have done, that God's working through me, has had me doing. But you know something else? I'm walking lighter every day. Every day, I'm walking lighter. One of these days, I'm going to walk light enough to just walk right on out of here and go to be with him. And that's what we all need to be doing and looking to do to just walk right on out of here and go to be with him. I'm here now because I know I am needed. And I want to serve him as long as I'm needed. But there'd be a time, and that's what we all should be doing. And let me tell you something, there's only a few of us here now, but if we all do what God wants us to do, and we all work as he wants us to work, we'll see this church flow. And you may think, he's getting on me. No, I'm not. But I am being truthful with you. Dennis has got a lot of knowledge, and Dennis knows exactly what I've told you is true. And Kenny, that hears me on here, on the internet, he knows I'm speaking truth. Terry listens to me all the time. Terry, my deacon. And he knows I'm telling you the truth. And we need to fill this internet up also. We need to be filling it up with more listeners. Mankind right now is hurting out here. As I said, we're going to start seeing some great things happen. It's coming. I don't know just exactly when, but I know it's coming. And I know that we're going to see some of it. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we close your word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come to share your word and to spend time with each other, to be a support and to help each other with knowledge and help each other with faith and to pray one for the other, Father, to see the power of God come to life and come to work, Father, to work with us and to walk with us so that we can be servants, helpers, and channels for the power of God to use here on this earth to reach out to this lost and dying world, Heavenly Father, to help bring in those that are lost that are to be saved before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church. We ask you now, Father, to use us in great and mighty ways, not to lift us up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, in many and great ways. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to be with them, to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, for this land of ours, this land that has turned its back and walked so far away from you without any excuse whatsoever, just because of the evil that we have at work in our leadership, Father, we're praying, Father, for the Holy Spirit to work with us, to help us to remove from office those that are standing against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, and against your people. Now, Father, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will work with us to replace them with those that will work with the church, for the church, and work to help us to put our nation and our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is mentioned, We ask the Holy Spirit to touch them, to fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. And Father, we're telling each and every spirit that is evil to leave this place, these people, and to leave the people on our prayer list alone. All sickness and all disease we bar, Father, from mankind and from these people, that only the blessing of God will they receive. Now, Father, Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, for our brothers in Christ in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Luke Bess, the Church of God of Brandenburg, Pastor Randy Johnson, the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, and Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. And these pastors, Father, we pray for them to walk close, for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to keep these churches on the pathway of righteousness so that they don't stray, Father, and that they're there as a work and a help to the community in which they stand. For this young man, Will, Father, that has been ordained into the ministry, we pray that the Holy Spirit has been his teacher and that he is the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what the need is there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. And that little Full Gospel Church of God there at Ekron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. Father, our friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, these all, they stand in need, Father, of all of our prayers, and they need you and the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. And keep them filled, Father, with thy Holy Spirit, because they walking in lands to where if they're caught will mean in prison and death. Now, Father, the Johnson family, the Branson family, the Lee family, Father, for my wife's family, for my family, and for each family that hears this message, may the Holy Spirit work within these families. Work with those that are walking in darkness. Help to turn them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus Christ, so that none be lost, Father, and all will find and make heaven their home. Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, pursue for Palance, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, for Henry Craycroft. Father, these all stand in need of that healing hand of Jesus in their life. And Father, we know that this is being done because you have told us that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. And Father, we are looking in faith to him to keep us all walking. Keep us all in health. Keep us all straight and on the pathway of righteousness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Remember now, walk with God, He'll walk with you. And we can all, God willing, we can all be together again come Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. So until then, hold on to Him. Hold on to God. And He'll hold on to you. So until then, God bless. Bye-bye now.